Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportist, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportists.
Hello and welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportists. My name is Ron Cook and I am joined by Joe Sperlin.
I'll with Keith on assignment, I'll say cheers to everyone. Glad to be here.
He'll appreciate that. And Doug Lansdowne.
Yep. Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here again this week.
As mentioned, Keith Farrell is on assignment. Tom Mathis is in sick bay. That's different than being on assignment. So it's all Ava. And someone asked me, what does it mean when you say all Ava? And I guess there is an explanation. All three Sportists that you are seeing, if you're watching on YouTube or hearing, if you are listening on podcast, Joe Sperlin, Doug Lansdowne, and myself grew up in the sprawling metropolis of Ava, Missouri, which when we graduated high school, we won't tell you the year. When we graduated high school, the population was 2,786 people. Joe Sperlin and I go back to kindergarten. Doug, I think we're about the same time. I know second grade for sure, but probably kindergarten.
I was there. I was just in a different room.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you were out in one of the rooms. You were out in one of the trailers.
Those old houses. Yeah.
There were houses. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Folks, I'm going to make it sound like we grew up in the 40s, but there was one of the four kindergarten classes was actually in the school building. The other three kindergarten classes were in small houses that were on the playground. I can't make this up.
And there were 40 concrete steps to get up into that house, it seemed like. 40. You just one of those kids, you just looked up at it.
In kindergarten, it was a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. And you're like, are they going to talk about sports? Yes, we are, because in this edition, the Chiefs have a very bad weekend. Is the dynasty over, or is this just a brief pause? It's bowl season, and the college playoffs start this weekend. The Blues continue to sputter, and the Cardinals land a starter. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings. Jason and his team will take your project from design to completion with a family-first approach. Learn more at 1stcoaststeel.com, and we'll hear more from them and Sandra Templeoff later in the show. And tonight's Last Call is brought to you by Black Dog Consulting, LLC, here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner to grow and prosper. Contact Dave at 417-217-9622. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. If you have a chance and haven't yet, we would love it if you liked us or rated us on X, Facebook, Blue Sky, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would rather view this and see what beverage of choice we're having this evening, what when we make gestures or when things happen, it's on YouTube at STL Sportists. And our website is stlsportists.com. Let's lead it off with quick hits. Joe Sperlin, what do you have?
As you said, bowl season's going on. I've got the Cure Bowl in from Orlando. It's Old Dominion up over South Florida. As I told you, you got these interim coordinators that I don't know why they don't treat this like a video game and just let it rip. South Florida throws the ball sideways a lot. But the main thing is there is a Southwest Missouri official doing this game. You know, Ron Hudson, who I believe is from Clever, has been doing Conference USA for about 4 or 5 years. And is doing this bowl game. Of course, you got Ron Snodgrass, who is probably the, maybe, I would argue, probably the best crew in college football, and he'll do all the Big 12 games. If it, he'll get a shot of the best Big 12 game. As he told me one time, they don't let me go to all the good places. Occasionally, I do have to go to Rutgers. So,
Piscataway. Oh, my. Yeah, that's, have you heard if they're calling any of the playoff games? I'm sure those will come out a little bit later.
I do not know yet. I know Snodgrass will probably do one of the first rounds and maybe get a semifinal, if not the final game, depending, I think it depending on which teams go where.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Mr. Lansdowne.
Got to see the Chiefs in person this past Sunday. And so we hadn't been up there for 3 or 4 years. And of course that game ended with some pretty devastating news there, but it was an interesting day. So we had not been there, like I said, for a while, and just watching the, you know, it didn't slow the tailgaters down or anything like that. And it was, it, even though it was 5 when we got there, it was an interesting day. We had a good time. 5. Yep.
It warmed up as the game got going, didn't it?
It did until the end of the first quarter. And then we were in the shade, and then we remembered it was 19.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the mm-hmm. worst.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, for my quick hit, Doug, while you were there, I have a number, and that number is 27. And that is the number of game day footballs allotted to the teams in the National Football League. I did not know this. 12 are primary balls, and 12 are kept as backups. And each team has 3 per game that are kicking balls, which, as we learned earlier in the year, are given to the kickers back in August, and they can manipulate them, throw them in dryers. We've learned about all the things they do with those. What I did not know, I knew there was a fine, but I did not know this. The NFL can fine players for throwing the footballs into the stands. For this season, the first offense is $8,114. I would love to know what green eye shade actuarial person came up with that number. The second offense is $13,911. So, my immediate thought is, you know, if you've got a quarterback who's making $31 million, you know, it might be like in The Simpsons when Mr. Burns said, "Smithers, my wallet's in my right front pocket." They might have it on him. But, Doug, you did get to see the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, did you know, because, you know, with the way the NFL works, it took a kind of a crazy sequence of events there in terms of other teams losing. Were the people in the stands aware that the Chiefs had been eliminated at the end of the game?
Yes. The majority of the people sitting around us knew the Chiefs had been eliminated before the game started, regardless of what the other scores were of the games.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say the same thing.
And, you know, it was cold, and there were 3 or 4 of those guys that were jumping up and down and cheering and coming off and everything. But most of them, when they came off the field, they got their big old wraparound hoodie coat on, and they went over there and parked it on that heated bench. So, you know, you could tell they were a team that's they're tired and they're done. So,
3 non-drafted linemen. If you're calling offensive plays and you're going against the Charger defense, which is very salty, and you've got 3 non-drafted, that doesn't seem like a recipe for offensive success.
No, it was even worse in person. I don't know how it looked on TV, but it was, I mean, the Chargers, you know, that first drive was a little bit encouraging, but those guys are also good. Joe knows better than us. You know, they figured out, okay, we'll do this, this, and this. And then, I mean, the Chiefs, they looked inept after that. That's the best way to describe it.
I would almost agree to some aspects of a lot of people have said, it's just 2 years of fatigue of an mm-hmm. extremely long season and injury and people not coming through, and their receivers never clicked. And I mean, lineman injuries, and it just bad breaks. I mean, what were they 12-0 in the last year in a 1-score game? And this year it wasn't, they didn't get the breaks. So
No, and if you just think about it from a calendar perspective, if you don't make the playoffs, your season ends like at the, you know, the first week of January. And if you make the Super Bowl, your season ends in mid-February. And that's a big deal.
Well, I always said this, and if you make the Super Bowl, think of all the additional appearances you make during the offseason and everything else you do and your public appearance, team appearances, all these things you have to do. So,
yeah, you shoot commercials with Meghan Trainor. And by the way, Meghan Trainor holding a knee brace up to Patrick Mahomes in those commercials all season long. I mean,
yeah,
if that wasn't foreboding, I don't know. I just don't know. So he's had the surgery. Now, I used to think that they had to like wait and let the swelling go down before they could do the surgery. I guess that's not a thing anymore.
That had to be the most aggressive timeline on getting an ACL repair that anybody's ever heard of.
Hey, they were talking that he's planning on being back ready to go. You know, they had that, would they have a fractured kneecap or, and he come back up like sooner than he thought that.
Yeah. He's a tough dude.
But I still think Kelce, he's done. I said that at the beginning of the year. There was a guy who just the expression was like, this is it. But who knows?
Now, is it possible that the year has been such a disaster? He says, Taylor, I can't go out like this. I got to do one more year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, and Patrick says, come on, man. We're going to come back. Let's do one more. Let's be done. I'm going to come back. You're going to come back. Here we go.
We're putting the band back together.
Yeah.
She'll release a song called It Can't End Like This. And there you go.
Yep.
It wasn't just Patrick Mahomes, but Micah Parsons has a season ending ACL as well. What a strange year for, as Jerry called him, Michael Parsons.
Yeah. It's weird. His was the old non-contact.
The old non-contact.
Yeah.
Sometimes those seem worse.
Yeah. As I was watching that, that was the same thing. As soon as Mahomes went down, I told my group, I said, yep, that's an ACL. And then they show Pies and I go, yep, there's another ACL. And it's crazy.
Rivers, they weren't perfect spirals, but he got the ball where they needed to be or where it needed to be.
And gave him a chance to win. I mean, I like it now. They finally have decided this kickoff is a bad deal because they're like, you get the ball at the 40-yard line. I mean, you get 20 yards and you got a field goal. And they're like, it takes 15 seconds to get into field goal territory. They said, it's really not even fair. I like how they thought it was all a great idea. And then these guys are like, well, they've left them 25 seconds. That's too much time.
Yep.
Yeah.
At two plays, and they get a field goal, and you get beat.
It's like, Doug, one of the reasons to tune into the Hall of Fame game the 1st of August is to see how they're going to do kickoffs this year in the NFL, you know?
Well, definitely the kickers have gotten more attention this year for, number one, their balls, and number two, the inability to kick it in that little section, you know? Yeah. How can you not kick it?
Yeah.
You know, what the hell do you do all day in practice? Are they literally hitting wedges or are they kicking?
I was sitting there getting ready to say the same thing. They stand by the ball. They take not even one step and they kick the ball like they're pitching a 30-yard wedge shot.
Hey, Joe Spurlin, I see that Tua Tagovailoa is benched. He has thrown an amazing 15 interceptions. I know 14 at least are against his own defense.
Yeah.
Can there be some sort of, I guess, intervention to say if someone's wide open on a crossing pattern that might not be a good idea in the NFL?
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing to me that they're doing this because they can't cut him. They can't cut him. They can't trade him. They're stuck with him. I mean, they were actually said today it would be cheaper if they just didn't play him and do like go Deshaun Watson. But yeah. You got that quarterback and you're out of the playoffs. Well, let's see if this guy can play. If not, then we got to find another quarterback. So, but I just amazed me that it's taken this long and all of a sudden they're sitting there going, yeah, I don't think this guy's it. Well, you should have thought that before you give him all that money. So,
yeah, and he may take the coach down with him. Although it's hard to say if that's almost a chicken or an egg question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's also hard to believe is that Nick Saban picked him over Jalen Hurts.
That's true too. Yeah, he made Jalen Hurts play wide receiver.
Yeah,
yeah. Hey, Doug, you and I remember back in the world of basketball, Dan Issel got fouled so often that, like, on one weekend, he got close to the all-time consecutive free throw record. And sometimes things just sneak up on you. I didn't realize Myles Garrett is one sack short of tying the NFL single-season sack record, and he's got three games to play. Is that just a factor of playing in Cleveland, or do we not care about what's up with that?
I think it's a fact that sacks aren't that big a deal anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it used to be a big deal. And I mean, it's still a game altering or a drive altering play and stuff, but you know, they're trying to get to the pass rusher and everything, or they're trying to get to the quarterback and everything, but I don't know. It seems it doesn't get as much publicity as it used to.
Really doesn't. And you go back to when Michael Strahan, and obviously very different personalities between Strahan and Garrett, but seemed like a much bigger deal just a few years ago.
It did. Yeah. It seemed like a really big deal a few years ago. And now, but that could be too, you know, Myles Garrett, he just shows up every day and goes to work and everything. He doesn't promote himself, you know, really doesn't, never has. So
he won't be hosting a show with, in George the mornings, I guess. Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Joe, in one of the stranger twists, imaginable, they're talking about Marcus Freeman going to the Giants, and, wouldn't it be just a hoot if the fact that Notre Dame gets all haughty and Marcus Freeman has time on his hands and can interview for this Giants job?
I don't know why in the world he would want to do that. I really don't, because I don't know. What is it? From the penthouse to the outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't know why he would even consider that, but maybe things aren't as great in Notre Dame as supposedly, the players, they ended up saying that players and the coaches had no choice on that. That was the administration said, we're not playing in a bowl game.
Now, you know, that's interesting, because I've heard a couple of different things on that. I heard the players voted immediately. And so there's definitely not one version of the truth coming out of Notre Dame on that.
Yeah. So I don't know why. I mean, I guess that those guys' egos, kind of like I saw about NFL quarterbacks, their egos are so big. They're like, hey, I think I can go to the NFL. I can do this. And you take that shot, and then you can always, if it doesn't work out, you'll be just another college guy who didn't work out in the NFL, and you go back to college or you go to TV, and there you go.
Yeah, you'll be part of a long list. But hey, speaking of college, Heisman Trophy, Mendoza, a lot of people feel like one of my favorite things I saw was seemed like Senator Mendoza accepting the Heisman. Doug, the right call, the easy call.
Yep. I think we called it back a few months ago when he took him on that drive and won that game. And, you know, we said right then he just won the Heisman. So,
yep.
Yeah, probably the right call. I mean, it seems like it's just become a quarterback award. So, you know, Jeremiah Love did have an incredible year. I mean, as far as he's hit right now, best player on the best team in the country, he probably deserves to get it.
Yeah, I think so. And then I think our friend, the three of us have watched Saturday Night Live for most of our lives. And I think Diego came very close to like a Saturday Night Live skit in real time. Wow. Joe, I didn't see that coming.
I'm going to say this. You couldn't make that up.
Uh-uh.
Like I said, that's not even Saturday Night Live. They wouldn't believe that. I mean, I know him and Johnny Manziel were tight, but what were you thinking? I mean, that's going to cost you. Hey, you talk about the character issues.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, that hurt that kid, I think, big time.
I flash back to AJ McCarron, who they always talk about how the combine interviews aren't supposed to matter. But then apparently he was such a jerk in his combine interviews that it took him out of the first round. I forget, down into the like the second or third, maybe the third.
I think. Yeah.
Just because he was apparently so not what they wanted in the interview.
Hey, Diego was limited on probably a lot of NFL teams that were going to go with his style of quarterback. And then, holy cow, that stuff. I mean, what are you thinking?
Maybe he's wanting to follow Johnny into Canada, you know?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
University of Missouri Columbia is getting ready to, next week they'll be taking on the Virginia Cavaliers as in the Gator Bowl. I forget the sponsor. They're all made up words.
It's the Tax Slayer, isn't it?
Tax Slayer Bowl. Thank you. Oh. Yeah. I was part of trying to make up a word to name a company once. I'll tell you about it sometime. It's an interesting experience. The most interesting thing is you come up with names that are rejected and you see other people like writing them down if they're rejected, kind of like, hey, I'm going to see if that's available.com or .net. So we've got tight end Brent Norfleet and middle linebacker Josiah Trotter out. Oh, and Joe, as you and I were discussing before we started this, offensive coordinator Kirby Moore will not be part of the effort for Mizzou. So they'll have to take a little different approach there.
Yeah. I mean, I think a surprise. I mean, Drink may have got him that job of just sitting there, hey, here's this guy. And boy, it had to be the offense. And you talk about going from that job to Washington State, you know, they're back in the Pac-12. And because that guy was there 1 year and went to Iowa State, right? Hey, you win a couple games, guy went 6-6, and you got a job at Iowa State. Pretty good job.
I did chuckle when I saw the Pac-12 final standings. Both teams were 1-1.
Yes. And because they had to, because they had to play each other because they didn't have any other games.
Have either of you heard anything semi-reliable on the Michigan situation in terms of who might take over there?
No, I have. I mean, you hear the guy from Arizona State, but you know, his whole family lives on the same street. You're going to go from Tempe to Ann Arbor in the winter.
Yeah. You sit there and go, if you're going to pull the trigger on it, why aren't you pulling the trigger on him now?
Yeah, why is it still milling around? Yeah,
right. Dillingham was allegedly a fallback at LSU if Kiffin didn't go. He and Summerall were the two guys they were thinking at LSU in case Kiffin decided to stay in Oxford.
Brian Kelly's available.
Yeah,
he could work a Michigan room, couldn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to do the fake accent.
Sitting there waiting to see what happens to Alabama if they get beat 2 touchdowns at Oklahoma. So I don't know.
I noticed that DeBauer, as I was telling one of our friends, I can only pronounce it like a Feinbaum caller now. DeBauer actually did say, I am not going to be the coach at Michigan, you know. This is where we roll all of the video of Miami Dolphin coach Nick Saban saying, I'm just not going to be the coach at Alabama.
Unless we just get beat 2 touchdowns at Oklahoma. And then right. I may not go back to Alabama. I may just go straight from Norman to
just go north
and do the press conference. Doug, I thought Missouri State was going to do something here and today or tomorrow, too.
It was supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was supposed to be today, wasn't it?
That's what I heard, that it was supposed to have been today.
Yeah, that's what the AD said. So
yeah, I told Ron it may be one of those deals. They announce it tomorrow morning, and he's at the bowl game shaking hands and kissing babies.
Yeah.
So
it's suddenly an upwardly mobile spot, and it reminds me of a conversation that Mr. Farrell and I were having where. I just out of nowhere one day said, do you think in our lifetime Missouri State could qualify for the playoffs. And he said, well, group of five, get a hot year. Stranger things have happened. And I said, okay, try this on for size. Do they have a better shot, or does Mizzou, considering all the teams Mizzou has to jump over? Who yeah. has the better shot? So that's one for scholars to debate in years to come.
I like now they're talking about expansion of making a, you know, the group of five playoff system.
Yeah. Yeah.
At which I said that too in my deal. Like, well, let's be honest. I mean, just have another group and have that group and people will still watch it and it'll be college football and they'll still watch it. And who knows?
But yeah. They will always, people will watch football on TV. That much yep. we have learned. Yep. And with that, we have reached halftime here on the St. Louis Sports Podcast. It's time to hear from the good folks at First Coast Steel Buildings. Next, we will look at NFL games and, yes, college football playoff games in Blue Horseshoes Corner, as well as Cardinals and Blues when we come back.
Are you in the market for a barn dominium, house, garage, man cave, carport, or hobby shop? Wondering how to get started or where to go? Whatever you are looking to design, look no further than First Coast Steel Buildings. Give Jason and his team a call at 912-314-4848. They will guide you through the process, designing your building to fit your specific needs and budget. Call them today at 912-314-4848, or get inspirational ideas and start designing your own by visiting them at firstcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number one, STCoastSteel.com. Their low-cost buildings are fully galvanized steel, providing you with worry-free, low-maintenance requirements, integrity, quality, and a family-first approach. First Coast Steel Buildings, 912-314-4848.
And we are back on the St. Louis Sportis Podcast. Along with Joe Sperlin and Doug Lansdowne, my name is Ron Cook, and it is time for Blue Horseshoes Corner. Joe Sperlin will take us through five NFL games and college football playoff games, as well as select college bowl games. We would like to remind you that these picks are for recreational purposes only and should not be the basis of any actual wager. And Joe, I looked at the standings for the year this week, and I think tossing a coin would be better than looking at my NFL picks.
The NFL, yeah, you're doing very well in college, but the NFL, I think all of us could, yeah. Hey, and that's exactly how the NFL likes it.
I agree. And I close by saying, if you believe you have a gambling problem, friends, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Blue Horseshoe, you're on.
All right, let's start on college football and the game we've been talking about there in Frisco, Texas. Arkansas State favored -1.5 at Missouri State. Now, I'm going to say this, but if you watch the game, count how many times it looks like Butch Jones, his head is just going to explode. Like, he could literally choke someone out if he could put his hands on somebody. Count how many times he does that.
If he and John Rahm played a round of golf, would there be any survivors?
No. And Butch went running after an officiating crew earlier this year. Did you see that? Running yeah. after him, and his assistants are trying to hold on to him and everything. I mean, it looked like a WWE thing. He's trying to get to him.
Hey, when they got beat on the last play at Louisiana, he was off the field. Then all of a sudden, it's just like he went ballistic. He just went... So, hey, go Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ron, I know what you're going to say.
If you think I'm picking against the Missouri State Bears after all of this time, no way.
I'm right with you. Right with you.
Ron, and I'll just say that. What was, when the very first time you heard that they were going to Conference USA, what was your thoughts? And I know you've said it before, but this would be a great time to review this. Because, you know, there was talk of them going to the Sun Belt and doing all this stuff. And you're like, they're not winning where they're at. There's no way they can go to Division One.
No, no. And there was a guy named Greg Onstott who was in University Advancement. And back in 1987, he swore me to secrecy and he rolled out plans to take, at that time, Briggs Stadium to 30,000 seats. And he called it the dream of going Division One. And that was 1987. And that's what I thought of when I saw we were going to Conference USA. I'm like... And I don't know if I haven't checked on Greg to see if he's still with us or but I went back to that and I'm like, holy cow, all these years later, it happened.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Then we're going to the college football playoffs Friday night, Alabama -1.5 at Oklahoma. Ron, what do you think?
I think Mr. DeBauer finds a way to get it done simply because I think they've got a better paid roster. Well, I know they have a better paid roster. I think they have a better roster, and I think talent wins.
Okay. Doug?
Old Tide.
I am going to go a Friday night at Oklahoma. The fans will be well lubricated, if you know what I mean. And I think the final chaos in the SEC will happen. And OU will win. And this is going to get us to the next game. Miami, as they say in Oklahoma, at Texas A&M. Texas A&M -3.5. Texas A&M not happy that the game is at 11 a.m.
Nope.
Kind of, they're about as happy as TNT is getting Tulane and James Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, what do you think?
Texas A&M has just had like a little case of hubris, and then they had that, you know, unfortunate night in Austin, Texas. And I think they're the better team. I know everything, but just watch those Canes. I'm going Miami.
Miami. There you go, Doug.
A&M wins and covers.
There you go. I am too going to go. As I looked at Texas A&M's schedule, they had it really nice. And you know, it's the deal of, does Miami really deserve to be in? And I'm going to say the 11 o'clock game doesn't help Texas A&M. And the Canes win and win.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then, like I said, for those of you that'll wonder where it's on TNT. Okay. Not on True.
I was just going to ask.
That is in March when you can try to remember what channel True TV is on. Probably one of the most favorite shirts ever since the convicts versus Catholics. Tulane versus Nolane. Ole Miss -17.5. Now, they played this year earlier in September, and it was 45-10.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first half is a sweater, and then Ole Miss scores a couple late and covers and wins.
I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. Doug?
Yep, I completely agree.
And I'm going to say this about the next game. As everybody said, do you watch the first half of Oregon and then turn it to the Bears and Packers? Because I think it'll be the same thing. James Madison will come out and it'll be exciting till halftime. And then Oregon comes out and wins by multiple touchdowns. And for me, covers the -21.5. First half will be exciting.
There are some kids on the Oregon roster that can't believe they're going to get in the game.
Yeah. In the playoffs.
The James Madison social media has been fantastic.
Yes.
By the way, if you guys have not looked up some of the James Madison stuff, it is tremendous.
It is.
I think the funniest one was when they were showing the Oregon highlights in slow motion and they said, these guys don't seem that fast. I think we have I don't know if they have a chance against us. That was probably my favorite one. Doug, what do you think?
Yep, I'm right there. I think Oregon is rolling by middle of the second half.
Okay, like I said, then Saturday night, if you want, turn it over to, I'm assuming that would be on NBC, Green Bay minus 1.5 at the Bears. Ron, what do you think?
I'm starting to believe in Chicago, which I can't believe I'm saying. So I've just doomed them. Home field, give me the Bears.
Doug, yeah.
I want the Bears. I think it's their year. They just keep finding a way.
We're all on the Bears bandwagon at home.
Mm.
Yep. And here's one that surprises me. L.A. Chargers at Dallas, and Dallas is a home 1.5-point favorite. And kind of like the Chiefs, you never know how many linemen the Chargers are going to be without.
That's true.
I am just going Chargers. They're just – oh, by the way, what is it? Dallas has to win all their games, and the Eagles have to lose theirs. There's like a – I think they said it was a 1% chance, and as Jerry said, there's a chance. So I'm going to go with the Chargers. Same with you, Ron.
Dak has one of those games every year where he throws 4 picks. This is that game.
Yeah. Doug, what do you think?
I saw him up close and personal on Sunday. They have grown men. Grown men. That fullback.
Yes.
That should be illegal.
Hey, and they got, as they're still saying, they got some dudes on defense, too.
Oh, yeah. And like I told you guys, Harbaugh was right out there in the middle blowing his whistle and whacking him on the pads, and he didn't like the way they got off the line one time. He blew the whistle. He goes, line back up. So, yeah. It may be rough for Jerry.
Doug, he reminded me, I actually thought of Harbaugh telling the story about when he got the job and Schembechler called him and said, Jim, are you going to have a fullback? Like, yeah, coach, I'm planning on using a fullback. He's like, good. You want someone in your backfield with their hand on the ground.
It's Medlock, right? Medlock. Back there. Holy hell. Hey, you should see the person.
And he also, and I love the tattoos everywhere. Yeah. So, and then another surprising game, Tampa Bay minus 3 at Carolina, which I think right now Carolina's in first place. After Tampa Bay has just wet the bed. I mean, Baker just gave that game away last week against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I am Carolina at home. I like it. Hey, let's go with the hot team. I'm taking Carolina. Doug, what do you think?
No, Todd Bowles, after that rant last week.
Yeah.
I'm on the Tampa train with Todd. It's got to mean something.
Hey. When he puts profanity to profanity to add on to profanity of the other profanity, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So, Ron, what do you think?
I think that every year there's one team in the NFL that looks like the car at the end of the Blues Brothers, and that is Tampa Bay. And they are just, whew, and so I'm taking Carolina.
Okay. Oh, and then this shocked me. Kansas City minus 3.5 at Tennessee.
We will rally around Kurt Warner and we will play good football.
Hey, except Minshew isn't terrible.
No, he's not. So they can lean on their running game. No.
Yeah. And they can
Yeah. I'm picking Tennessee because Cam Ward said today that he gets to pick the new coach. Or maybe he said he would be very heavily involved in picking the new coach.
Mm-hmm.
It will be too close. It will be Tennessee. I hope the Chiefs win. But the 3.5, the hook always gets. So give me the hook.
The hook.
The Tennessee and 3.5 hook. And, it'll be a long season. New England at Baltimore. At Baltimore minus 3.5. Hey. I'm still on it. I got to go with them. They just got to get in Baltimore. Just get them in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you because at this point, the NFL is saying we need people that people have heard of.
Yeah.
Like Baltimore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, give me Baltimore.
But then here's what's bad. Then that means no Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
Yeah. Who played the best game of the season on Sunday night.
Mm. Yes.
That's because he got to play with all those scrubs. All those scrubs. Didn't he call them scrubs?
Yeah. that no, don't come to meetings and don't go.
He called him. He called. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
All right. What was Baltimore.
What was
Doug,
the line again on that, Joe? What was the line?
3.5.
I want the patch and the points.
I wanted to, except, hey, I'm still on the Baltimore bandwagon. As I like to say, this week, after this week, the playoff picture should be very clear after mm-hmm. this week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you got 2 weeks of teams going, they don't have to play anybody, and it's pretty much over. Except for positioning. After this, they're probably going to know.
Yeah, yeah, that's the we don't want to open on the road. So, yeah. Right, that's what yeah. you're looking at. Blue Horseshoe, thank you very much, sir. Yeah,
thank you.
As for the St. Louis Blues, they're 12-15-7. Dylan Holloway, a fine forward, is now injured as well because they just keep getting hurt. The good news, Joe Spurlin, very important. Returning from severe burns on his legs in a home incident, Alexei Torpchenko. He's back. So he has made a triumphant return. Yeah. If the Blues win tonight, they are playing as we record this against, let's see, the Winnipeg Jets.
Winnipeg.
And if they win, believe it or not, they go past the Jets in the standings. So,
Hey.
You know, progress. We'll see. Hey, Doug, the Cardinals signed a free agent pitcher. A little bit earlier than they did last year.
A little bit earlier. I like the signing. I mean, I think Bloom's going to take a flyer on some of those guys, you know, and, you know, May is only, a few years removed from being the top prospect in the league. So, of course, he had Tommy John, like all the rest of them. And then tore his throat out. He got choked on a chicken bone or something and had to miss a year. And with esophageal surgery or whatever that was. I mean, that sounds like that had to hurt. So
torn esophagus is something I do not want to sign up for.
No.
I think that's just the type of player you're going to see them take a flyer on that they think mm-hmm. mixes and matches with the youth movement or the ones they want to give, you know, some runway time to.
Yeah. So right now you got May, Libertor, McGreevy, Leahy, Fitz, the acquired from Boston, and then Palante, who I'm hearing talk up here that's like, hey, let's not give up on this guy. A couple of years ago, he was really good. And if he makes a couple changes, you know, he may be serviceable. You may get 120 innings out of him as a swing man. So there's six guys. And then you've got Doyle and Matthews. Doyle, who, number one draft pick last year, who we've heard comparisons to the Skeens track. In other words, he may be at middle of this year. And Quinn Matthews, who we thought we'd see last year, but he just had a terrible year. So there's, by my count, that's eight starters. Not necessarily good starters.
Same thing. Seven-man rotation.
It might be a year that you just, hey, who's healthy today? You there. Go pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just not feeling it today.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You'll go on the 7-day. You'll be like the Dodgers and put everyone on the 7-day disabled list.
Yeah.
Brendan Donovan, apparently to Seattle or San Francisco. We're hearing a lot of Seattle. There was, there was scuttle going around town last night that, the Seattle deal might be done last night, but something there seems imminent. Doug, you hearing anything? You have a preference? They're talking either prospects as opposed to a big pitcher coming back, apparently.
I personally want to see them get a major league player. You guys know how I feel about Donovan. I thought he's the dude on the team anyway. So if you're going to trade him, I think you got to get somebody that's going to pitch every fifth day or start almost every day. I think that's what you got to look for if you're trading that piece. So I'm okay with mm-hmm. prospects. I'm okay with prospects for the other guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
And Jeff Jones, who's the beat writer for the Belleville paper up here, said he thinks movement is coming quickly because he said, hey, you know, the old Tony La Russa line, these are men, not machines. He's like, hey, it's Christmas next week. They want to get some stuff done before then, you know, for the sake of the players, for the sake of the GMs, for everything. So Joe Sperlin, did you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago, there have been more ranked matchups in college basketball this season than any year since 1995.
I got to watch the last 8 minutes of Tennessee putting a smackdown on Louisville last night before they the bowl game that come on. But yeah, I like it that, like I said, it matters who you play in college basketball. Unlike, you know, head-to-head matters. The quad one, quad two. So those games matter because you may not be getting those in conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I always think the bad losses, they always talk, that's a bad loss.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament, it seems like to me, they always want to talk about who you beat and they forget about who you lost to. Because then they sit there and say, we played this many level quad one teams with this many wins, and they don't really name anymore about your losses because, my God, now they're playing 20 conference games. So,
Speaking of Memphis, there are Vanderbilt and Memphis 1-point game right now. Doug, I saw Memphis play Louisville over the weekend, and it made me look up the members of the Metro 7 conference. That was a fun conference.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that was. Wow.
I forgot Georgia Tech was in that.
Georgia Tech, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been watching that same game too. Memphis was way down and then they started pressing and all over the place, and it's they've made a game out of it.
Dana Kirk would have been proud. So John Miller, not the ESPN John Miller, but there's a guy named John Miller that hosts a podcast on Mizzou called Locked On Mizzou, and he's about as big a Mizzou fan as you will find. But he came up with this stat on their non-conference ranking. There's 365 teams in Division I this year. Pretty easy number to remember. Where do you think, it's a quiz, gentlemen, where do you think the Mizzou non-conference schedule ranks?
I'm going to say in the 300s.
More specific, sir.
There's no way it's last. There's no way.
361.
Wow.
That's not good. That's not good, is it?
That includes the Kansas game. That's not good. No.
Okay. I was about to say, Kansas and Illinois?
I don't know if that includes Illinois since they haven't played yet. So this was like as of last Saturday. So he was basically advocating for possibly playing a little tougher schedule to get ready for the SEC.
Wow. Be a good idea.
Yeah. 361.
Oh.
Bragging rights next week. So Illinois, who miraculously picked up yet another 6'9" guy from How does that happen?
You're just trying to get me in trouble. I'm not going to say anything.
All right, Ron. Hey, Mizzou is, what are you talking about? They've played Minnesota. They played Notre Dame. They played Kansas. And then they played the SWAC conference schedule.
Mm-hmm. I would be sitting here.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
I would be sitting here asking my lovely wife, this is another traditionally black college, isn't it? And she's like, maybe. and then I'd like look it up. I'm like, yes, Bethune-Cookman is a traditionally black college.
Yes.
So, you know,
historically, right. Historically, let's get the acronym right.
Thank you. Thank you. Doug, HBC, Doug. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
I do not understand how college basketball does this, where they sign a dude and he's eligible at semester and he's been playing in who knows what European league.
I'm telling
you. Or they were signing dudes in the G League from the G League, right?
I know. That dude to come from Illinois, he was playing last week over there where they have ashtrays at the end of the aisles.
He was.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a character out of Pulp Fiction is what he looked like. I mean, seriously. My gosh. So
I don't know how Illinois has a spot for him unless they just.
They may have got rid of somebody.
Here's your money. See you later.
I mean, they may have literally got rid of somebody.
Yeah.
They know a guy.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah. Well, that would be Jackie Brown when they had the guy in the trunk. Get in the trunk. But the Billikens are 9-1, which is their best start in 14 years. unfortunately, Doug, they've got to go about perfect in their conference to make the tournament.
Yeah. Or, you know, win the, are they thinking, they're thinking A10 is a one bid league?
They're thinking A10 is one, at most two bids, probably. Especially given as many as the Big Ten and SEC, just like football, as many as the Big Ten and SEC are getting.
Yeah. Because Dayton's pretty stinking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did either of you guys get to see the Dick Vitale, Charles Barkley, Indiana-Kentucky game?
Yep.
Happened to be ESPN's most watched game this season, most watched December game in 5 years, 2 million viewers. I thought they were hilarious together. I thought it could be a train wreck or really good. It was really good.
They probably would have watched that if those two would have just been talking and not watched a game. You know what I mean? It would have just been those two sitting around talking about basketball. I mean,
that's kind of what it was, actually.
Yeah, I was about to say it's those two. Those are probably the most popular two personalities, I guess I would say. And it's not the game. It's just no telling what those two are going to talk about.
No. And then they strong arm Shaq into like a very large charitable donation, too.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah. But I think going back to what we were talking about earlier with the quarterbacks and the fines for throwing footballs into the stands, I think Shaq will be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, we have reached the last call, brought to you by Black Dog Consulting. Black Dog is here to help the one truck owner and the small fleet owner to grow and prosper. Dave has 37 years and 4 million plus miles of experience with flatbed, step deck, overdimensional dry vans, and refrigerated units. He grew the last fleet he managed from one truck to five with yearly gross revenue of $3.7 million. If this is the growth you are looking for, contact Dave at 417-217-9622 or oldblackdog0523@gmail.com. Black Dog Consulting, helping you retrieve bigger profits. Joe Sperlin, what do you have for a last call?
Well, as we have always said on here, college football, there needs to be some changes, and everyone else agrees with this, but the ACC continues to just be a fiasco. So they have a modification for 1 year where 12 ACC teams are going to play a 9-game schedule and 5 are only going to play an 8-game schedule. Including one of those 5 is Clemson, Georgia Tech, and Florida State. And I'll just go ahead, Boston College and North Carolina. So I wonder when they were doing this expansion, when someone said, hey, you guys realize 17 teams is not going to work. And I'm sure Georgia or Clemson and Florida State says, fine, we'll just leave. And then someone says, yeah, that won't work either. That'll still give us 15. So. Their first conference game next year, one of the first conference game is in week 0.
Oh.
And it's Virginia and North Carolina State in Brazil.
I should like to be in charge of security for that one.
Yeah. So anyway.
College students in Brazil, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, if the rumor's true and Clemson's headed to the SEC, there you go. That'd take care of it.
And then how many would that give the SEC?
Well, they'd find one more, I'm sure. It, you know, just means more.
I'm going to go back to, to make it easy. 10-team conferences, you geographically, and you just have those 10, whether they're 60, 65, whatever you want, 70, there's your conferences and there's your playoffs. I mean, as much as I like watching it, Tulane and James Mason don't need to be in the playoffs. The MAC, the Sun Belt, Conference USA. But I say that, but then Ron wins the Powerball tonight and he donates $500 million to Missouri State. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, they're a conference power. So,
Yeah, Missouri State.
Missouri State hedge fund is $500 million. So
Missouri State is the anchor in the new We Bring Back the Big Eight conference. Yeah, go ahead and we just steal, yeah, a few, no, never mind. Doug, save us, please.
Well, I was going to talk about the same thing. I mean, it just shows you that how much people enjoy, like you said earlier, watching football on TV, especially college football. We want the playoffs. We want the best teams in. I mean, this is being ran like a North Korean automobile.
Mm-hmm. But
it still just somehow gets down the road, and then they're going to play, and, you know, and we already talked about the game times and the teams playing at what time. And I mean, you know, James Madison should be playing Oregon on Friday night, and, you know, Tulane and Nolane should be playing at 11:30. And those mm-hmm. other two games should be Saturday yep. afternoon. Even, I mean, and like Joe said, and TNT's got to be fired up about the two games they got.
Well,
yeah.
And then Doug, and then next year, if this happened next year, because of now the changes that they had contracted years ago, if Notre Dame's in the top 12, they're in. And yeah. then that ACC's automatic qualifier. So if this exact same thing happens next year, Duke and Notre Dame's in, Tulane and James Madison out. Hmm. No, they say Miami would have been out.
Right.
And Notre
right.
Dame
well,
would have been
yeah,
out.
Yeah, Miami, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
It gives people like us something to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go the opposite direction. Last Saturday, I spent time, as I always do, watching Army-Navy. And I was thinking about what an accomplishment it is to get through one of those service academies, much less getting through a service academy while playing football. Yeah, let's just do something incredibly difficult and then throw something else on top of that. And I was thinking about those guys and how much NIL they were getting. And I thought to myself, is this the last true Division I football game that you will see? I mean, every year. Is it the last genuine college Division I football game that exists to this day? And you always have the stories and you always, you know what these guys are signing up for post-college. And, you know, it's almost like a different world when you see what those guys do. And just very different from someone sitting out a bowl game or putting themselves up for auction to go to where the highest NIL is. And I hope, for the love of God, they don't screw it up.
Yeah. I always like it when they show someone's schedule and it's like 5:30 to 11 and their entire day. And they're like, yeah, that's pretty much every day.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I loved the quote from the Marty Smith thing. One of the generals during World War II that said, I need someone for a dangerous secret mission. Bring me a football player from West Point. So on that note, Joe Spurlin. Well, we'll talk before Christmas. But thank you, sir.
Yes. Enjoyed it. Like I said, I always enjoy the AVA time here.
Blue and gold, Doug Lansdowne.
Yep. And I was at the alma mater last night, and 3, 4, 5 different people said, hey, we love your podcast. So, yep. Oh,
that's good. Cool. Yeah. Yep. And I heard
tell
you
them to tell two other people, like, subscribe. Yeah.
I heard you were triumphant in your coaching last night. So congratulations.
Yep. Thank you. Yep.
And on that note, we will catch you next week for another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. And until then, take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sportist Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.